Our scripture reading for this morning will come from the book of Acts, chapter 28, beginning with verse 16. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 28, beginning with verse 16, and I'll be reading from the New American Standard Bible. When we entered Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with the soldier who was guarding him. After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews. And when they came together, he began saying to them, "Brethren, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. And when they had examined me, they were willing to release me, because there was no ground for putting me to death. But when the Jews objected, I was forced to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had any accusation against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I requested to see you and to speak with you. For I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel." They said to him, "We have neither received letters from Judea concerning you, nor have any of the brethren come here and reported or spoken anything bad about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are. For concerning this sect, it is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere." When they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. And he was explaining to them, by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God, and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus, from both the law of Moses and from the prophets, from morning until evening. Some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. And when they did not agree with one another, they began leaving after Paul had spoken one parting word. "The Holy Spirit rightly spoke through Isaiah the prophet to your father, saying, 'Go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. And you will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen.' When he had spoken these words, the Jews departed, having a great dispute among themselves. And he stayed 2 full years in his own rented quarters and was welcoming all who came to him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching concerning the Lord Jesus with all openness, unhindered." Well, you know how sad I am today because we're finishing the book of Acts. And I'll give you a heads up. It's my intent to go right into the letter of Romans for next week. So I would encourage you to read the first chapter of Romans. Do you enjoy your freedom? Would you give it up for any reason? How loudly would you protest if it was taken away from you unjustly? Have you ever experienced being arrested? Being put in handcuffs? Locked in a police cruiser in the back seat, if not spending the night in jail? I think it would be a sad day, don't you? There's a couple of passages from the Old Testament that seem to strike a chord as possible prisoners might feel. One from Lamentations. That's appropriate, isn't it? The weeping prophet. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 6 and 7. In dark places he has made me dwell, like those who have been long dead. He has walled me in so that I cannot go out. He has made my chain heavy. Then from Psalms 107, verses 10 and 11. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in misery and chains, because they had rebelled against the words of God and spurned the counsel of the Most High. More often than not, it's self-inflicted, isn't it? Our God, however, is a redeemer. Paul makes it clear in his defense today in our reading of the last half of chapter 28 that he is undeserving of being a prisoner, but it doesn't keep him from using it to his advantage. And that might be a bit surprising to us, but God has a way of taking even the, quote, bad things in life and turning them for good to those that love him and are called according to his purpose. What we have are two hearings in today's reading, and it's easy to miss the fact that there's two separate times that the Jews, not the Christian brethren who have converted, but the Jews who have yet to come to Christ, come and meet with Paul. Paul calls them together. And you might wonder, well, why would Paul have any standing for them to heed his invitation? Why would they permit themselves to come and listen to him? Have you ever heard the saying, curiosity killed the cat? Paul is from the outside. They know that Paul is a Jew, and that he has come from Palestine, and specifically from Jerusalem, though it's been 2 years plus since he fled from Jerusalem by night. And so what they have is an Israelite who is under Roman custody. And perhaps they initially come to Paul to see if there's some way they can help him alleviate his burdens, or perhaps even get him released. So I want to put as positive a spin on this initial meeting as possible. Paul calls, and perhaps they feel like he brings news from the outside, like CNN, the Christian News Network. Oh, that's not what CNN stands for. And so he's got the added benefit of bringing political news, or at least maybe word from some of those in Jerusalem. They're going to find out just how bad that connection is for the Apostle Paul, what kind of things have happened. But it is worthy to note that they're not there to convert to Christianity. That's not their intent. It could be simple curiosity, or it even could be compassion. And so in this initial meeting, Paul begins with basically a self-defense. I'm innocent of the charges. He's addressing the elephant in the room. Why am I a prisoner? And what he says is, I am in this chain because of my faith. Let's begin reading again, verse 17. After 3 days, Paul called together those who were the leading men of the Jews, and when they came together, he began saying to them, "Brethren, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans." Now, what Paul is making clear is he wasn't arrested by the Romans. He was delivered into the hands of the Romans by his own people, the Jews. It's not that he has broken any Roman law. And he'll make that clear as well. He says, when the Romans did examine me after the Jews turned me over to them, they couldn't find sufficient charges to keep me, and certainly not charges sufficient for putting me to death. They would have released me. But, verse 19, the Jews did not see me as innocent. And we know what was planned by the Jews more than once. that if given the opportunity, they were going to kill Paul. And not going through the judicial system, but by being vigilantes, they would simply kill Paul while he was en route to or from. And so he said, I was obligated, in order to save my own neck, to appeal to Caesar. And so he says, I really am in jail. This now is verse 20. I am wearing this chain for the sake of the hope of Israel. First he has said, it is my faith that has brought me here. And now he is saying, I am in jail for the hope of Israel. What is the hope of Israel? Well, it's for the Messiah to come, isn't it? Earlier, as Paul was defending himself before other authorities from Acts chapter 26, he talks about the hope and defines it. Beginning with verse 6, as he appears before Agrippa the second. And now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers, the promise to which our 12 tribes hoped to attain as they earnestly served God night and day. And for this hope, O king, I am being accused by Jews. Why is it considered incredible among you people if God does raise the dead? Defined, hinted at here, but defined, the hope of Israel is the afterlife, the resurrection. God has throughout the Bible, and specifically for the children of Israel, shown that there is a physical kingdom of his people, but alluded to a spiritual one. There is a physical promised land, but alluding to a spiritual one. Paul says it's time for the transition to be made. The hope of Israel is the Messiah, and I proclaim to you, as he will make clear on their second meeting, I proclaim to you that that Messiah has come, and he is Jesus of Nazareth. Look again at verse 6, Acts chapter 26. And now I am standing trial for the hope of the promise made by God to our fathers. That promise is what we stand on. The hope of the resurrection. And it's not a hope as in I wish. I certainly would like for it to be, but it is a hope that is based upon truth, upon fact. If Christ has been raised, then we can have confidence that we will be raised. And the contrary is true as well. If Christ has not been raised, then our faith is vain. Paul says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I am in chains, or I am chained due to my faith. In other words, I am a man of God with a message who is being incarcerated unjustly. And implied, I bring information from God. Jehovah has a revelation for you to hear. The Jews in Jerusalem, they've rejected that. Now, if you think about it, that might prejudice the audience that Paul is trying to convince in this meeting, because he's saying your brethren in Jerusalem have already rejected what I have to say. Well, what does Jerusalem represent to a Jew of that time? That's the seat. That's the temple. That's the center of their religion in Jerusalem. And will be for another 5 years, 8 years. Yeah, it's going to be destroyed in A.D. 70, and we're probably somewhere around A.D. 61, 62 right now. God knows that. He knows the end is near. He's prophesied it for 6 centuries through the prophecies of Daniel. Jesus has confirmed it in Matthew chapter 24, 30 years ago while he walked the earth. So Paul knows it's coming, and it's coming soon. But for now, Jerusalem is the seat of power, quote, for the Jewish people, and they have rejected the message. What's the message? Well, as we get into next meeting that they have, Paul talks to them about the kingdom and about Jesus. Remember the contrast between the physical and the spiritual? The people of God being that by DNA, And now the people of God being that by faith, the promised land being just across the Jordan, literally the land of Canaan, and heaven itself, Paul is trying to make them see that the transition has to be made from the physical to the spiritual, that it's not an earthly kingdom, nor is it an earthly throne that the king is sitting upon. Remarkably, they don't turn Paul away when he says the Jews at Jerusalem rejected what I had to say. They listen to his defense, but they do respond with this. We don't know of anything against you. No one's brought us any word. We've not received a letter. We've not heard from anyone that's gone that way and come back again that we should be leery of you. But we have heard a lot about this sect, and by implication that's Christianity, that it is spoken against everywhere. So there is, in the back of their mind, they're not just there for Paul. They want to know what Paul represents and what he can tell them about this sect we know to be Christianity. How old is the church? If we're in 61, we're nearly 30 years into the establishment of the church, which began at Jerusalem and has spread throughout Galatia, Macedonia, Archaea, even now resides in Rome. Remember, Paul met with the brethren first before he called the Jewish leaders to him. So they've got a church. And seemingly, as we will go through the book of Romans, Lord willing, we'll see a fairly strong church with more than just a few members. They have available to them 3 decades worth of information, and yet it still seems to be a mystery to them. Isn't that just like us? We find something that we like and we close our eyes and ears. Oh, wait, that's the last of Paul's message to them from Isaiah 6. I don't want to hear it, kind of thing. So they schedule a future date for Paul to give a full defense. Verse 23, and when they had set a day for Paul, they came to him at his lodging in large numbers. Now, I appreciate this about the Jews in Rome. It seems that they come in sincerity to hear what Paul has to say. And perhaps they're just hoping that he will identify with them, that he will declare himself once again to be a Pharisee of Pharisees, and they can embrace him. Notice in this case, Paul does not try to divide them as he did those in Jerusalem. It was because Paul knew that he was not getting a fair hearing in Jerusalem. Remember, right off the bat, the high priest had him slapped. It's a whole different situation here. In fact, it goes on all day long. I can remember that phrase from Evie, who's now 15. She'll not probably appreciate me reminding her of this, but when she was just a little more than a toddler, she said, "All day long I miss you, Papa Sykes." Paul gets to present his message all day long, from morning until evening. And what is his message? Listen to it again. This is verse 23. And he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God, trying to persuade them concerning Jesus. And what proofs are in Paul's hands or at his disposal? He's doing it from the law of Moses and from the prophets. It's undeniable. Even Moses himself said in Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning with verse 15, "There will come one like me from among you." Now notice this is future tense. "There will be another Moses," is basically what he is saying. "There will come one like me from among you. You must listen to him." Even at the instituting of the law of Moses, God allowed Moses to prophesy, saying, "And it will not be forever. The law of Moses will not remain in effect forever. There will come a new law giver," is implied. And so I'm sure that the likelihood of Paul using that reference of Moses is from Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 and following, that that would have been one of the things that he would have taken from the law of Moses and given to them. In the law of Moses, meaning the Pentateuch, there is the prophecy to Abraham. In Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, through your seed will come one who will bless all nations. And the prophets, well, like we've already mentioned, there's Daniel talking about Jerusalem and the temple being desecrated. And that prophecy is going to happen within just a few years, as we've stated. There are over 300 plus prophecies concerning Christ that he alone fulfills. I'm surprised Paul got it all done in one day. I'm sure he could have continued even past that, but the mind can only absorb what the seat can endure. And you say, yeah, and your sermons are long enough anyway. Don't give us that. From morning till evening, he talked to them, trying to convince them of what? Just to be on his side? No. To accept that Jesus of Nazareth was the Messiah. Why is Paul so convinced? Do you remember that trip from Jerusalem to Damascus? As Saul of Tarsus, a persecutor of the church, the blinding light, the voice from heaven, 3 days later, the message of the gospel from Ananias, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Why is Paul so convinced that Jesus is the Christ? He's walked with Jesus. He's talked with Jesus. He even implies in Galatians chapter 1 that he spent 3 years in the presence of Jesus, just as the apostles did, which is what it meant to be an apostle, to have been an eyewitness of Christ. And Paul's witnessing surmounted those of Peter, Andrew, James, and John, because they were confused for the most part. Until the very end, they were still denying that he was the Son of God. But Paul would have known it from the start of his connection with Christ, miraculously. And so the things that Jesus said, he absorbed. And it gave him a backbone that would not yield to persecution, even imprisonment. In fact, Paul seemingly glories in the things that he has to suffer for the sake of Christ. I serve a risen Savior. It's because he lives that I am confident. Turn with me to hymn number 543. 543.
No soul, God sent his Son. They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives.
Oh yes, my Lord is resurrected. That is the hope of God's people. Specifically here, he says, I am in these chains or this chain because of the hope of Israel, as prophesied. But in actuality, Israel is much larger than just the Jewish people. Israel is representative of all the people of God, all who have hope in Jesus. And so the gospel message, I'm sure, was preached by Paul, because he's talking about the kingdom. And what's to be said about the kingdom unless you talk about how to become a part of it? And he talked about the king, who is Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, Paul had responded to the blinding light and the voice, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest." I am convinced that Paul, though possibly not the best speaker, was able to communicate that which needed to be said. So much so that his words didn't lull people to sleep. No. It put them on the line. Make a choice. Are you for or against Jesus? And so the group became divided. Verse 24, some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe. This afternoon's lesson, Lord willing, is going to focus upon those who refused. It's entitled Bamboozled. I'll save that. That just gives you a hint about where we're headed this afternoon. So in this divided group, Paul knows that he has failed to reach perhaps the majority of those that came to hear him. And so before they leave, he has a parting scripture. It almost sounds like a parting shot. He has a parting scripture for them. And he's been talking about the law and the prophets, and now he's going to turn Isaiah's words upon them. How far back is Isaiah? 720 to 750 years ago, Isaiah wrote these words. "Go to this people and say, you will keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull." What does that mean? It means man often, in fact, more often than not, will tune out God and his message. Look at our world today. Is it chomping at the bits? Is it beating down the doors? Is it filling the pews to hear the word of God? Oh, tell us what we need to know about what God would have us to be. Not hardly. In fact, it seems as if the deafness, the blindness, the hardness is increasing, doesn't it? Only God can change that. God can take a heart of stone and make it malleable. God can take the blind and cause them to see, the deaf and cause them to hear with the truth. Why are we so resistant? Paul goes on. "For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their eyes they scarcely hear." With their ears, I'm sorry, they scarcely hear. "They have closed their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." The beauty of the message is, yes, man has hardened and turned away from God, but God is willing to receive him back if we'll but listen to the gospel call. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Would you be in a right relationship? Would you have hope as the people of God? Then see and hear and soften. Repent. Because they have rejected it, Paul says, God will seek those who will listen to him. Therefore, he has turned to the Gentiles. Verse 28, "Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen." And that's been Paul's experience, hasn't it? Rejected by the Jews for the most part in the towns that he's gone to, save Berea. The majority of them turning against God, even though Paul would go first to the synagogues. Do you know what's really happening here? It began in Jerusalem. Remember, God had said to Paul in Acts chapter 23 and verse 11, as you have witnessed in Jerusalem, so shall you witness in Rome. Who are the audiences that Paul has witnessed to on both of those occasions, some 2 years plus apart? This is God's final call to the Jewish people. 30 years after the day of Pentecost, nearly, and they are still rejecting him. And it's as if God is saying, okay, one last time. If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, but this is the last time you're going to receive a warning. What does God know that's about to transpire? He will put an end to the Jewish system, even being able to be practiced. He's already ended it as far as the blood of animals, bringing about forgiveness of sins. That was 30 years ago, whenever Christ was crucified upon the cross and the gospel was preached on the day of Pentecost by Peter and the apostles with flaming tongues of fire upon their head. But he's given 40 years for them to make this transition. Well, 40 years up until the time Jerusalem is destroyed in AD 70. According to plan? Absolutely. Prophesied, through you all nations will be blessed. Then Daniel says, and there will be an abomination of desolation set up right within the temple when the Ancient of Days has come. Christ, the King, the Son of God, the suffering, crucified Savior, the only hope of Israel for the resurrection. Are my eyes open? Am I listening? Is my heart ready to receive what the Scriptures have for me to learn? Paul did not shy away from his imprisonment. He writes letters from prison. Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. Let me close with this from his letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason I endure all things, for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. I am in this chain for the hope of Israel.